Have you ever made a mistake that you thought you could never come back from? Have you ever made a bad business decision that cost you everything you worked for? It could happen to anyone, and it happened to me. I missed a shift in a lot of areas of my life, and I've spent the last 20 years trying to fix the mistakes I made. This podcast is here to try to help you to not miss the shift in your life, but to learn from other people's mistakes. This is Missing the Shift.
All right. Hello and welcome to Missing the Shift podcast. I'm so glad that you decided to join me for today's episode. My name is Wayne Burdett Jr. and I've missed the shift a bunch of times in my life. And what is missing the shift? Well, I spent a lot of time in the NASCAR circuit, as we discussed some in the previous episodes. In a NASCAR race, if a driver misses a shift, it can cause them to get way behind in the race, cause themselves to get wrecked and those behind them are worse. This is similar to what happens in life. We think we're going in the right direction and everything might be going great. And then all of a sudden we miss the shift with a bad decision that could throw us completely off track and make our lives go in a direction that we never thought it would. This podcast will look at stories from people that have missed the shift in life and how they got back into the race. Make sure you follow this podcast on all social media platforms at Missing the Shift, or email with the shifts you've missed and a chance to be on the show at info@missingtheshift.com. Today, I'm joined by my special guest, Angela Bradford. Angela is a senior marketing director with World Financial Group. Angela, in the past 6 years, has accomplished just incredible results with her business, growing from being a single agent to having multiple offices in not one, but two different countries. She's developed an amazing team, which we will hear about a little bit later. And her goal is to have a licensed agent in every state and province in North America and doing so in the next 5 years. She's dedicated to making not only herself, but her team successful. And she does this by not only helping individuals, but families as well. And I have to say a personal kind of jealousy, because we are friends on Facebook and I see those exotic locations that you get to go to, and that's kind of your offices for the week or the 2 weeks. But Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Absolutely. And so Angela, just 6 years ago, you were involved in the trucking industry as well as training horses. What prompted you that day just to wake up and make a change into the financing and insurance industry with World Financial Group?
Well, it wasn't like an overnight thing. So I actually got introduced to our company 7 years ago in 2015. And I thought, well, you know what? I might as well try something new and start something part-time. So I started part-time, very part-time. I was trucking, as you said. And so I was gone, you know, I was running California, Alberta and back. So I was gone most weeks, almost all week. And so I started very part-time, and it took about 6 months for me to actually see the goodness of what we do and the lives that we change and the impact that we have. And when I saw that, you know, in 2016, I was like, man, so I started working a little bit harder. And then by fall that year, I decided that, you know, I had to quit trucking. I needed to come full-time. I needed to go change a lot more lives than I could in the trucking industry. For me, I felt, and so, you know, things happen for us, not to us. And my dog got really sick on the road, and I used that as a catalyst to be able to quit truck driving, come full time. And so that was September 2016. So we're just over 6 years full time. And yeah, it's definitely been ups and downs, of course, as any businesses, but definitely never look back.
Oh, that's awesome. So certainly, as you said, there's been some ups and downs. I imagine in the world of finance and insurance, there's always ups and downs. And so where do you feel that you might have missed the shift, and how did you overcome those obstacles or challenges or ups and downs that occurred?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's the financial industry. I mean, the financial industry is phenomenal. I mean, we've been growing like leaps and bounds. When the economy's down, we grow more. So that's not it. It's just me, and obviously building any business just has ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. I guess that's the biggest thing, is just building a business. Dealing with people. I came from, you know, truck driving. I was homeschooled. I'm dyslexic. So I came from very much of a solo person to needing to build a business and talk to people all the time. So I really had to learn how to communicate with people, how to lead people. I'm still definitely working on that. I was actually just thinking about this morning, and how to, you know, effectively communicate and effectively lead people. And that's probably been the biggest downfalls that I've had, is just being too intense with people and expecting everyone to be like me. and not appreciating for them for their strengths and instead wanting their strengths to be my strengths.
Yeah. And I remember those days when I was in the car business, it certainly that communication takes some getting used to. I remember walking out and saying, "Hey, can I help you?" "No, I'm just looking." And it'd be like, "Okay, I'm sorry." And, you know, so yeah, it certainly does take a lot to get used to that. And a lot, if you're used to that solo to work with a team. And yeah, I remember some questions about working with teams. And so, all right, so let's talk about the World Financial Group. Right now, or at least last time that I knew, it was led by Ed Mylett. Ed is a very powerful motivational speaker. No longer.
No. So Ed's never run our company. He's been an agency chairman. He's a broker just like me within our company. So our company was founded by Rich and Cindy Thawley and Monty Holm. They quit another company actually and just started WFG, which used to be WMA, well over 20, 30 years ago. And that's actually where it is. Rich is still heavily into our company, which is pretty cool. He actually recruited Ed Mylett. So Ed's actually in his agency, which is pretty cool. And, you know, Ed just is a huge spokesperson for our organization, which is awesome. Our payroll last year was over $1 billion. Just a company on a move.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that you kind of clarified for me that, because when you hear chairman, you think, okay, normal companies where he's the chairman of the board and stuff like that. And so, of course, I guess you do have your kind of different levels. And so obviously you've had the opportunity to meet some very motivational, you know, individuals that have stopped one company and came over to another one. Tell us a couple of things that you've learned from these individuals that have helped you in your business, or maybe helped you overcome those, you know, kind of those obstacles that you faced.
Yeah, I've been blessed to be around a lot of leaders, Ed Mylett, Andy Frisella, you know, John Maxwell, being some of the very integral parts of my life, I guess. And some of the biggest things I guess I've learned, especially from like Ed and John, have been leadership. And, you know, we can't lead others until we lead ourselves. And leadership is one of the most rewarding things and one of the toughest things. According to John, there's never two good days in the life of a leader. And I find that to be pretty accurate, which is kind of fun, but yet everything rises and falls on leadership. So it's one of the toughest things out there. And yet it's also one of the most rewarding things out there too. And you actually can see your people win and actually see people step into the next level and grow into the actual best version of themselves. It feels really good, but it's also the toughest thing when you see people not step into their potential and not grow into the person and instead quit on themselves. And that's the hardest part for me of leadership. But John said, you know, if you're not doing that and you're not feeling that pain, then something's wrong. And it's okay to feel hurt. It's okay to feel, you know, that your heart's broken over people not reaching their potential, but that's part of it. And that's, you know, that's just part of life and part of leadership.
Yeah. And it seems that you, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that you do focus on being that servant leadership and praising, you know, your people. I've seen on Facebook, like I said, you know, you praising your team and praising the accomplishments of that team. So that certainly seems to be very important to you about making sure that you give that praise.
Yeah. And I mean, it is important because our team, you know, wouldn't be the team it is without the people in it, obviously. And so it's not, you know, a team is not me, obviously. I mean, it makes sense, but it's not me. And I just, you know, I had to really realize, like, you know, you're just a person. Like John Maxwell organization is, for instance, and I just obviously think a lot of John, but his organization is helping, you know, millions of people in a lot of different countries right now. And yeah, John's the leader of it and he's a huge part of it, obviously, but he's not everything. He can't be everything to everyone. It's his team, you know, that he's been able to create and raise and grow that are creating this massive, massive impact across the world. So everything does rise and fall in leadership, but it is your people that really determine, you know, the speed of your organization. If you surround yourself with ducks, this is something I've recently been talking to someone, surround yourself with ducks, you become a duck. Surround yourself with eagles, you become an eagle. So the speed of your organization is determined by the speed of your team and what they're able to accomplish. So anything that, quote, I do is obviously my team doing it. So I do want to give them, like I said, the support and the accolades because they deserve it. I mean, they're working hard, they're building a business and they're you know, becoming the best version of themselves, which is all hard work. To change our lives, it's the hardest thing we'll ever do.
Yeah. And I remember listening, like you said, to a few motivational speakers that absolutely say that you surround yourself with the people that you want to be, and you become that. And if not, then you become who you surround yourself with. So absolutely. So expanding on that a little bit, I know that you, last time we chatted, you were a member of the Ariat Syndicate. And so that is a group of like-minded entrepreneurs led by, like you said, Andy Frisello and Ed Milet. And they support each other. And in that, they have a Facebook group and you can bounce ideas off of each other. So you've kind of answered it a little bit, but how important to you is having that, you know, that support behind you? And how would you say that that helps you in growth? And what kind of like suggestions would you have for somebody who's trying to build that background or those people behind them to support them? Because it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, totally. So Ariat Syndicate has been absolutely instrumental in where I'm at. I 100% believe that. I started with them when they opened up in 2018. So one thing I would say, and I don't get paid for this, but like, check it out. You know, it's an application process, but if you are looking for something, definitely check it out. But I mean, the biggest thing about it or any other like group like that, if there's a lot of other groups like that, but I don't think there's a lot of other groups exactly like that, but anyway, finding people that think on a next level. And so one of the biggest things I've got from Arte is, you know, the live events, the get togethers, the meetups, the friendships, you know, meeting people in person and hanging out with them and really just learning that, you know, I'm not the only one dealing with the challenges I'm dealing with. You know, every business owner deals with challenges. Every person that's trying to grow deals with challenges and how we relate to them. You know, just talking to other people that are dealing with it, like, hey, what would you do here? How would you handle it? Because when we're in the situation, a lot of times for me, I'm emotional, and emotion is not a time to make decisions. And yet, I mean, I do make decisions when I'm emotional. I'm normally they're bad decisions, you know, especially if it's a negative emotion. But if I can reach out to other people, whether it's leadership within WFG or whether it's, you know, the Ariat, I can really be able to find the best answer. So they're not coming from a place of emotion, but a place of actual like logic in those situations where I can help my people and help the situation, whether it's my clients, whether it's my agents, to be able to grow without, like I said, taking out the emotion of like, when I'm upset, that's just not a good time to make decisions. So that's been probably one of the biggest things in Ariat is learning how to be, you know, non-emotional in decision-making. I mean, we're an emotional creatures. We're always going to be emotional, but in our decision-making, not be emotional and to be kind of like a third party view of the situation.
Right. And so your goal, as we said in the opening, is in the next 5 years to have an individual agent in all the states and provinces in North America. Tell our listeners why you made that goal and why it's important to you to achieve that goal and where you're at with that goal.
Awesome. Well, our goal is to help 10 million families become financially free. So we have a massive goal. I guess that's the start of it. And I figured, you know, that's just a very way to start that process, you know, have 1,000 millionaires. So we've got some big goals because I just believe in what we do. And I believe in helping people across the country. And in order to do that, we need an army. So we, you know, it's a crusade to be able to actually, you know, make a financial impact in the world and be able to change people's lives and give them this kind of lifestyle. Like you said, like I do, I live in exotic, real. I like traveling all the time. I just booked Vancouver. I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to Sparkling Hills, which is an awesome little resort in BC, Canada. And like all these things are booked. Oh, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm taking my aunt. We're going to a 5-star resort there on the company. And, you know, just being able to do that. I love to be able to do that, of course, but I love even more be able to give other people that opportunity and help them have that life. Because if the last couple of years hasn't influenced it, people were having a hard time living 3 or 4 months without a paycheck. What are they going to do for 30 or 40 years? And what happens if their health changes, you know, like mine did, and now they maybe can't work and maybe they can't go to, you know, a job, or maybe they need experimental treatment elsewhere. Like there was a lady down in Mexico I met that, you know, was down there for cancer treatment. And it's like $1 US. So for the Americans, you know what that is. The Canadians, that's like $1 million. So like, it's a lot of money when your health goes, and it might not be you, and it might be your family. And so I'm just obviously very passionate about like helping people create financial freedom so they can actually be stone A wealthy. Like, I want people to be completely independent, completely wealthy, and never have to worry about where a paycheck comes from. Never have to, you know, worry about which bill they're going to pay. Never have to worry about any of that stuff. And that's why I want an, you know, I want a licensed agent in every state and province. We used to have to be office in every state and province, but now, of course, thankfully for Zoom, we've transitioned from an online brick and mortar business to a, you know, flexible platform. As long as you have good Wi-Fi, you can do it. So I was like, perfect. Now we don't even need an office in every state and province, which was our initial plan. Now we just need a person. And I'm like, well, that's quite a bit more doable than an office in my mind.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So we just got big goals, and we just want to make a big impact on the world. I believe we're put on this earth for a purpose. And, you know, as long as I have breath, I will, you know, work toward my purpose and see where it takes me.
That is awesome. It is great to see that passion. And like you said, I don't think people quite understand the change that can occur. You know, recently, as you know, I told you, my father one day was cutting the grass, and the next day he was unexpectedly in the hospital. He spent 4 weeks in the hospital before coming out the hospice. And right, while we were there, it was thinking, okay, how are you going to pay $6,000 to $10,000 a month for a residential care facility? And if he was to have lived, you know, 2 more years, my mother would have had to pay it, and it would have been completely, you know, her finances would have changed everything. And I don't think, like you said, people think about that. It may not be today. You may be healthy. You may be walking around, running marathons, but certainly tomorrow it can definitely change. And, you know, my father passed away. And I think as well, people don't think about the fact that when that occurs, your spouse passes away, all their benefits stop. Everything just completely stops. And now it's what you have. And so, you know, you could go from bringing in $6,000 to $7,000 a month down to two. And so I love what you're doing. I think it is greatly important. And I think for our young listeners, if you don't have a plan, you need to reach out through some of our links and get a plan, because it is very important to have that. And I love what you're doing. So how would you say that, like, you give back, you know, whether that be to charities, whether that be, how do you give back?
I love that. It's my favorite. So, and that's when we're blessed with, you know, finances, especially we're able to give back. I had to go through a lot of thought processes on the whole, like, money is evil, money is a root of all evil, all this stuff. But once I got through it, it is really exciting, because money can also do a lot of good. So for me personally, I give back. There's a charity in Edmonton here called the DIRA, kind of the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart. They help women and kids basically get out of situations that aren't the best, and help them either get out of drugs, or get out of abusive, or get out of, you know, alcohol, whatever the situation is, and get back on their feet. And they're a Christian-based organization also, which is also important to me. And so I just really like to give back to that. Obviously my church, I give back to that. And my goal is at least 10% of my income going back to some kind of charitable charitable giving situation. And then, you know, outside of that, like I said, just giving back to my team. But our biggest thing is, like I said, just giving back. We had a big Christmas get together with our team, and we had like 50 something people come from all across Alberta, which was really cool.
Awesome.
And they call blessing bags. And one of the ladies in my team, she gives back to the homeless here in Edmonton regularly every month. So everyone brought a whole bunch of different stuff. I don't even know what was all there. There was a lot of stuff that she was able to take to whatever she does. And I like, and it was really cool, because it was something my team did really outside of me. Like I said, hey, let's get together and let's give back. And then they took it and ran with it on what they were doing to give back and be able to make that impact. And I was like, wow, that was a lot of stuff everyone brought. And to be able to just do that, I mean, that's where also building a team, you're able to make a bigger impact. You're able to, you know, I might have given one bag, but everyone else gave like a bag. Well, you have 50 some people. There's a lot of stuff. And
absolutely.
It's really cool. Yeah.
So now we've got a listener that might be just sitting there thinking, okay, hey, that all sounds great. And, you know, they reach out and they get involved, and then all of a sudden it stops. because they get really scared to make that transition over. And, you know, they think, I just can't do it. I've got all these bills. And, you know, what advice would you give to them to get over that hump or to get over that fear? Because, you know, we all fear making that change. I would think sometimes mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing is being able to make that leap over. What advice would you give somebody like that?
What's the worst that can happen? Like, really dig into that. So maybe you don't make the money, because that's normally a big one. If you're transitioning from employee to business owner, so maybe you don't make a go of it and it doesn't work. And then you have to go back to being an employee. Right. Who cares? You just learned. So like, people are so scared about like the next step, where it's like, well, just take the step and like, what's the worst that can happen? For most people, the worst that can happen is like I said, worst case, if you don't work hard enough in whatever business you're in, or maybe you pick an industry that's not the best industry or something, you go back to your job. Oh, well, you didn't lose anything. You gained a bunch of knowledge. You gained some stuff. Next time you do it, maybe you'll have more of a nest egg. Maybe you'll have more money saved, so that whenever you do jump, you'll have the money there and you'll be able to go a little bit longer before, you know, you need to have a paycheck come in from your business. And so I just, like I said, I think just most people, that'd be one thing. And then the next thing is like, count your wins. You know, another thing that I think a lot of people lack is self-belief, and self-belief comes from keeping the promises to yourself. So what are some wins that you've done? You know, did you win at a track team? I played violin as a kid. Did you get a certificate there? Did you win? I don't know, whatever. Think back, like, what have you done that, you know, you won at? Did you get up when your alarm went? Do you go to the gym every day? I don't know. Those are all little things that are big wins, and use that to build your self-confidence. Cause if you're going to go out and open any business, self-confidence is huge. And it, like I said, most people struggle with that. We're just not raised that way. So we can build it ourselves. What's the self-talk? How do you talk to yourself? What do you say to yourself every day? What is written? You know, do you write it on your mirrors? Do you say it to yourself? Or do you beat yourself up and say, man, I'm a loser? I'm like, the way you talk to yourself, if you talk to your best friend, would they still be your best friend? Because how you talk to yourself determines like what happens in your life. And most people, including myself, I have that too, where I'm hard on myself. And then I'm like, well, that's not how a friend would talk to me. Like, we wouldn't be friends anymore, like friends off. So like, how are you talking to yourself and being really, really aware of that as you go into that? And then, like you said, what's the worst case scenario? You go back to what you did before. That's not a bad thing. Otherwise, if you don't know, most people, when they're on their deathbed or in their final phases of life, don't look back on their life and go, oh man, I shouldn't have tried that thing. Mm-mm. Most people go, I wish I had tried. I wish I'd asked that girl out. I wish I'd asked that guy out. I wish I had, you know, started that business. I wish I had done that bungee jumping. Whatever it was, they wish they had, not that they, you know, regretted that they tried something. So remember that too. Regrets are worse than trying something and it failing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've reached out to some pretty powerful individuals to be on the podcast, and people are like, you sent an email to them? And I'm like, what's the worst? It was no before I sent the email. So if they send back no, okay, hey, it's still no, right? So, yep. So I love that, right? I mean, you just got it right. You just got to go for it. And if you don't, the answer is always going to be no. So I love that philosophy. Absolutely. And so where can people find you? So they're interested and they've heard you on the podcast and they're saying, hey, that's a great idea. And I like that. And I want some more information. And yeah, I want to work towards that financial freedom and, you know, having that nest egg when I'm in my 60s and not have to worry about things. Because certainly, you know, helping my mother over the past few weeks, I've seen that there's a lot that you can worry about when you get a little bit older. And so where can they find you? And what would you recommend as far as that?
I love it. So best place probably to find me is Instagram, Real Angela Bradford. And it's probably the best way, easiest way. And reach out to me about anything. It doesn't even have to be about financial, like mindset. I've dealt with MS, you know, I've dealt with some health challenges, stuff like that. Like anything you know, your listeners can, where anywhere I can help them, definitely guys, reach out. I would love to communicate and talk. If you're friends at Wayne's, your friends of mine. Wayne is an amazing, amazing guy. And he's conquered a lot of stuff, as most of you probably know, if you don't, you know, find out about that kind of stuff. But that'd probably be the best place to find me.
I appreciate that. And certainly we'll put all those links on our websites as well. You can reach out to us if you want to know as well. And so, Angela, anything else that you would add to our listeners to help them overcome obstacles or challenges in life, or just anything you'd like to add?
I guess the final thing would just be, like, my favorite quote is, things happen for us, not to us. So everything that comes in your life, the things that seem really hard are there for a reason. And the hardest things in your life are normally become the best things in your life. They definitely have for me, and I believe they have for most people. So step into your challenges and know that challenges are there to create you from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that would be my biggest thing.
Well, that is awesome. Well, Angela, we certainly appreciate you being on the show. It was great to have you. Thank you for getting up and joining us this morning. We just appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, Angela. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I'd like to give a big thank you again to Angela for joining us on the show today. A big thank you to my producers at Creative Global Podcasting, Melissa and Jesse. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so that you know when the episode drops each Wednesday. Follow me at Missing the Shift on all social media platforms. And if you like this podcast, tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is the best way to help a new podcast grow. You can also reach out with any shifts you may have missed in life or in business at info@missingtheshift.com. And with that, this has been a Creative Global Podcasting production. This has been Missing the Shift. Tune in each Wednesday as we discuss how to come back from missing a shift in your life. Visit www.missingtheshift.com and Missing the Shift on all social media platforms to stay up to date with our upcoming guests and all that is happening. Thanks for listening.